Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God that engages us this morning is from the lesson just read, specifically Isaiah 20, verse 2. Then Yahweh said to Isaiah, "Take off the sackcloth from your body and the sandals from your feet and go around barefoot and naked." This is a warning. What you are about to hear will be an R-rated sermon. Now, most of the time in the parish, we hear sermons that are rated G, you see, for a general audience. Here at Concordia Seminary, we normally hear sermons that are rated PG-13. You see, pretty good for the 13 minutes allotted to us by the beloved Dean of Chapel. Occasionally from this pulpit, we will hear sermons under the category of NC-17, because no child under 17 is following the theological complexities as a professor waxes eloquent. Now, some sermons, not from this pulpit, mind you, are under the category of not yet been rated. You know the kinds that boggle the mind. And still others, exactly from this pulpit, I would label DTTIP. Don't try that in the parish. But this morning, for obvious reasons, this is as R-rated as you can get. Isaiah, the star of the screen, is going around 3 years barefoot and naked. Now, some want to sanitize this chapter of Isaiah. Some want to edit out the shock value. That's exactly what the New International Version does when it translates stripped for the Hebrew word arom. But arom means, well, naked. No ifs, ands, are you ready, just buts. Now, what else would we expect from someone like Isaiah, whose canonical comrades include Jeremiah, who goes to the Euphrates River and buries his underwear, Hosea, who marries a prostitute named Gomer, and Ezekiel, whose chapters 16 and 23 are so pornographic, the book almost didn't make it into the canon. R-rated, to be sure, but not only because of nudity, but in chapter 20 of Isaiah, there is bloodshed and violence as well, as indicated by verse 1 in the chapter, with the introduction of Sargon II. Meet Mr. Terminator himself. Move over, Arnold, because Sargon, king of Assyria, is at his maximum capacity now to enact his scorched earth policy. Listen to this battle rhetoric from an 8th century B.C. Assyrian royal text. Quote, "In the midst of the mighty mountains I slaughtered them. With their blood I dyed the mountains red. The heads of their warriors I cut off, and I formed them into a pillar over against their city. Their young men and their maidens I burned in the fire. I skinned alive all the chief men who had revolted, and I covered the pillar with their skins." With this as his goal, Sargon commissions his field commander, literally the Tartan, and the Tartan's job is singular: destroy Ashdod. Oh, Ashdod. Silly, senseless Ashdod of the Philistine Pentapolis. This Ashdod is revolting against this Assyrian juggernaut and looking to Egypt for help. this is about as easy as trying to nail Jell-O to a wall. Isaiah says in chapter 31, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on their horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the strength of their horsemen, because the Egyptians are men and not God. Their horses are flesh and not spirit." Isaiah, Sargon II, Ashdod, Egypt, that's the cast. Here's the rest of the story. It's about 713 BC, and Ashdod begins this senseless revolt against Assyria. And just about that time, they are looking for help and assistance from Egypt. Here enters the star of the show, Isaiah. And he walks around for 3 years, barefoot and naked. Isaiah is dressed to kill, because his dress, or more specifically, lack thereof, means that there is going to be maiming and mauling in Ashdod, and murder and discrepitation and all kinds of horror in Egypt. Now, in Isaiah's day, when people were captives of war, right before their execution, they would be stripped naked. This had the practical design of escaping people when they're naked, and that wouldn't happen very often. It was a mild deterrence to the great escape. But the chief reason was to inflict public disgrace and humiliation. That this is the destiny for Egypt is not only confirmed in the words of Isaiah, that's chapter 19, but also in the prophet's actions, that's chapter 20. Had you and I been on the streets of Jerusalem in 713 BC, watching Isaiah during his enacted prophecy, we would have screamed, "Indecent exposure!" And we would have been right, at least in part, because the exposure of indecency is exactly what Isaiah chapters 13 through 23 are all about. Beginning with the burden against Babylon in chapter 13, this section of the prophet exposes all of the indecent pride of the nations. From Babylon to Philistia, Moab, Damascus, Egypt, Edom, Arabia, Jerusalem, and my favorite, Massa Tzor, the burden against Tyre. Why all of this exposure of indecency? Isaiah 2, verse 17. "The arrogance of humanity will be brought low, and the pride of all people will be humbled. Venisgab Yahweh Lebedo Bayom Hahu." Repeat it again in verse 21 of that same chapter. Yahweh alone will be exalted on that day. Our arrogance, our pride, our incessant desire to be better than everyone else is also brought under Yahweh's judgment. Even here, even now, His Spirit strips us of all ecclesiastical egotism and pompous pretense and theological one-upmanship. Hear the challenging word from Revelation 3, verse 17. "You say, 'I am rich, I'm wealthy, I don't need a thing.' but you don't realize that you're poor, wretched, pitiful, blind, naked. No worthiness, no goodness, no righteousness in me. The word is arom, naked. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's Isaiah. That's us. Throughout the chapter, Yahweh refers to Isaiah as Avdi Yeshayahu, my servant Isaiah. Now, Isaiah is Yahweh's servant. He's a shocking servant. He's the best supporting servant. But Isaiah finally is not the servant. No, there is one who is infinitely greater than Isaiah, and this servant takes center stage. He's the star of the script. In fact, you know this one. People have even called him Superstar. And his script also includes nudity, bloodshed, and violence. If Isaiah won't let us sanitize or edit out the shock value in chapter 20, he certainly won't let us do it in chapters 50 and 53. The servant of Yahweh says in 50 verse 6, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks who pulled out my beard. I didn't hide my face from mocking and spitting. And then chapter 53, for the ages, he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. As a lamb is led to the butcher, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so you see, Isaiah says, he didn't even open his mouth. Jesus the Nazarene, undressed to be killed, stripped before Herod and his soldiers, stripped again at the order of Pontius Pilate at a place called Gabbatha, stripped naked once more at a place called Golgotha. For there they divided up his garments by casting lots. No Assyrian war machine here. Just methodical maiming and mauling in the name of Rome. Indecent exposure. Public disgrace and humiliation. Some thorns, a scourge, three nails, and a spear. Count the hours. It lasts for 6. R-rated, to be sure. Not only because of nudity, bloodshed, and violence, but R-rated all the more. Because we know that through the horror of the cross, you and I are rescued and redeemed and renewed. We are rebuilt and revived and regenerated, and we are reconciled finally because of the vindicating resurrection. But there's more. He's returning soon, you see. And on that day, joy of joys, celebrations of celebrations, we will stand before the great white throne. And all of our shame and our guilt and our emptiness and our nakedness will be covered over in robes of righteousness. We will be dressed to live forever. What kind of love is this? It's radical. Bingo, says Isaiah. It calls for a revolutionary reformation. Exactly, says Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.